Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And this show is for the express purpose of having your dreams come true, fulfill your divine blueprint and your mission, and be victorious in every way. And so I like to interview people who are an example of dreams coming true, of being miracle workers, first by being miracles in their own lives. And so I want to introduce to you someone just so amazing and such a miracle in his own life, and a physician that has healed himself, and that I don't even know what to say. Welcome, Dr. Saul Shay.
Well, thank you. Good to be on your show.
Oh, thank you for being with us. And I know you're a world-class speaker. You are a spiritual healer, and you this is so great. You're the spiritual healer to the Green Bay Packers team.
Well, I did that for 4 years with them. My contact has not been hired by the Philadelphia Eagles, so I'll be working with the Eagles starting in 08. But I worked with the Packers for 4 years on over 60 other players.
That's so wonderful. And you started out as a professional athlete yourself.
A professional athlete
as doing bodybuilding and weightlifting.
Yeah, but I wasn't a professional. I was strictly amateur. I was very glad that I was able to do some state competitions and place fourth in the Mr. Louisiana contest in 1979. And I competed in track in college and was glad that I was able to do some things in the mile in college. But nothing like the professionals I work with. They're the top of the top.
Well, I think you're the top of the top. The way you came back from back injuries.
Well, I had some injuries. I even had a motorcycle wreck that nearly killed me at age 20. And actually, when I lecture, I tell you, I think that was my awakening call. Because there was a broken down a trailer truck on a highway with no lights on in the fog. And I crashed into it without seeing it.
So going full speed on the freeway?
Say again?
So going full speed on the freeway?
It was on a four-lane road in Brooklyn, New York.
So how fast were you going?
I was going about 40, 45 miles an hour.
And didn't even brake?
Well, I didn't see it. In the fog, and, you know, when you ride a motorcycle, you're required to wear a face visor. So in the fog at night, I couldn't see it.
Well, I'm surprised you can remember that.
Well, like I said, it's a very strange event. You know, most people have a major traumatic injury and they black out and go into the light. I never lost consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could realize at the time was I was in a lot of pain. I thought I was dying. I didn't have any fear. All I could think of was, let's just get it over with.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when after 6 hours in the emergency room and they sutured me up and ran all these tests, when they finally said, well, all the bleeding has stopped, you don't have any major injuries, and they brought me a pair of crutches and said I could go, I was quite shocked.
And at that time, you were an atheist, right?
Well, I used to call myself an advanced atheist.
What is an advanced atheist?
Well, because, you know, I grew up in an inner-city ghetto in Brooklyn, New York. I was very cynical about spiritual things. I thought it was all nonsense. And I thought I was going to be a survivor. I was going to be rational. I was going to be logical.
And you were going to get the hell out of there, huh?
I was going to, you know, figure it out, and I was going to be duped. Because I didn't see any proof of God, as far as I could see, growing up in a ghetto. But,
yeah.
You know, when I survived the accident, it planted a seed of doubt in my mind. How is this possible? How did I survive that?
Mm-hmm. Did your parents believe in God?
Now, even though they were Jewish, you know, one of the things I say I actually have to bless them for, they brought me up Jewish, but because they weren't very strong in their belief, I didn't have any guilt to undergo. I really grew up with a blank slate.
That's That is such a gift, don't you think?
Yeah, I look back now and realize that that was a gift, because a lot of people have guilt to, you know, forgive their childhood. I had a blank slate that I could put in what I wanted. There was nothing to undo.
That's a great statement.
Yeah, so actually what turned me on to God was a book called There Is a River, the biography of Edgar Casey.
I've never read that.
So when I read that book, I tell people that was my Damascus Road experience.
A what?
It was a Damascus Road experience for me.
Oh, like the Saul and Paul thing?
You know, just like a Saul of Tarsus.
Yes, well, talk about that.
Well, see, there I was calling myself an advanced atheist. I thought spiritual things was nonsense, and no one was able to convince me it was real. People who wanted to argue with me about the Bible said, well, it's just words on paper. How do I know it's real? Edgar Casey's life had enough logic in it that it gave me a bridge to God. You know, it was one of his readings, and he recorded over 14,000 readings, which are on the library at Virginia Beach, Virginia. And in one of the life readings he gave people, people asked him a very profound question. He was in a trance state, and they said, okay, this information you're giving, nobody knows it. You're using language like a Harvard, you know, law professor or medical doctor, and you're very uneducated. Where is this information coming from? Well, it was his answer that changed my life. He said, a higher source. Once I admitted a higher source, that's God.
Yes.
So I did a 180-degree about face and said, okay, God, you lead, I'll follow.
Woo-hoo! Your God.
Yeah. Now, of course, I didn't consider myself a spiritual healer. That was 1975.
Uh-huh.
Now, Casey also mentioned that dreams could be a pathway to your higher self. And I've been having dreams all my life, but never knew they had any meaning. All of a sudden, I had a reason to study my dreams.
Yes.
So in 1975, I started recording my dreams. Since 1975, I've recorded over 16,000 of my own dreams.
That's a lot of dreams. Do you remember your dreams every night?
Well, I wake up almost every couple of hours, and I record them. So my normal is I wake up 2 hours, check the environment, almost like a primate in the wild. Any predators? No. Go back to sleep. But when I wake up, I go, oh, I had a dream, and I record it. Or I might say, you know, I had 10 dreams, and I record it. So there are usually lots of dreams, night after night, ever since 1975. Actually, the spiritual healing that I do today started with a dream in 1981.
And what was the dream?
Well, I was in a church, and I came out of the church, and there was a gate with a lock on it. And I said, okay, lock. I made the sign of the cross and said, in the name of the Christ. And the lock opened. And then a voice said, look at that. We have Christ in our midst. And I said, no, I'm no one. I'm here to help him manifest the Christ. Now, I thought it was a wonderful dream. I didn't know what to do with it. I was at an ARE symposium in Phoenix, Arizona, a few months later, and we were discussing dreams, and I mentioned this dream, and a woman says, well, you're a chiropractor. Why don't you make the sign of the cross over someone's spine and see what will happen? And what did I say? I said, well, nothing's going to happen. It's just a dream. And she said, humor me. Well, 95 out of 100 people, if their spine has misalignment, they lay face down, their shoes on, one leg is going to be shorter.
Yes.
95 out of 100 people in the chiropractor aligns their spine, the legs tend to even out.
I'm sorry, I didn't get all that.
Well, 95 out of 100 people, when the chiropractor aligns their spine, the legs tend to even out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So I checked the person's spine, checked their legs, made the sign of the cross, and said in the name of the Christ, and their spine leaped into place. Well, needless to say, that got my attention, but I thought, I'm not going to tell this to anybody.
Why not?
Well, I'd lose all my credibility. I was a practicing doctor. You know, no practicing doctor wants to say they got a spiritual gift. First of all, the state board doesn't want to hear it. You know, they might call you to task and remove your license.
We don't need no stinking badges.
Well, yeah, I understand like that, but I said, back then, remember, I was very timid about speaking the truth.
Yes.
And actually,
You're not now, are you?
Well, it was many, many years and many, many dreams later that one day I realized I was hiding from God. And I said, what am I doing? I'm a spiritual being. I didn't come here to play it safe.
I didn't come here to eat my lunch, huh?
I came here to grow spiritually.
Yeah.
Why would I be hiding out because it's safe and I make more money doing that?
But aren't miracles more funner? Aren't they so much funner?
Well, that's just it. You know, once I made the decision to do it openly and full time, the dramatic healings dramatically increased.
And when did you do that?
In January of 1993.
Wow.
It was after my busiest year as a chiropractor. I just gave away the clinic.
And you know what you did also in that, which is so moving for me, is that, you know, you did pass through the eye of the needle. You were rich doing chiropractic work. And you said to God, I work for you. You pay me how you see to pay me. And haven't you been richer?
Yeah, I mean, it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
I know.
But my thought was, how could I live with myself if I said no to God?
You know, I really acknowledge you because it's, you know, making that leap is like, you know that movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where all these tests are to find the Grail? And do you remember that? Did you see it?
Yes.
Where the test, he had to step out over the ravine before there was a bridge.
Oh.
Remember that? Did you see that?
Yeah.
And then the bridge appeared because he stepped out over this 100,000-foot ravine. But you know what I have found for myself? It seems like the whole bridge doesn't appear. I have to just keep stepping out into space. And you know what I'm saying?
Well, life is a process.
Yeah, and you have continually stepped out into space.
It's one step at a time.
Well, but it is so much more. See, I think so many people are on antidepressants because they're not doing that.
Well, it's true, because it's like another one of my Sunday morning talks is called Let Your Light Shine.
Well, I want a copy of that.
So when each one of us doesn't allow ourselves to allow that light to shine, which you know, we are all unique creations of God, there's a little bit of darkness in the world. And inside ourselves, we don't feel as good because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing.
You know, it takes an incredible lot of energy to hold that down. I think that's why so many people are depressed and tired.
Well, it's true. You know, I tell people I have more energy now at 60 than I had 15 years ago at 45. And people go, well, how's that possible if you're older? I said, well, I think, number one, I perfected my diet year by year by year. I've been exercising for 50 years in a row. And I've released the work that I used to do to doing the work that I think God would have me do. And I feel this inner peace that's indescribable.
Well, congratulations. And, you know, the most exciting thing for me about having you on is that you have taken the chances and you are fully expressing your Dharma, the divine blueprint for you. That's so thrilling to me. So, do you work with people to heal things like being afraid of taking that leap? It seems like...
Anything we can put in the terminology of healing is what I can work with people. So I can't work with people who say, I want my boss's job in his penthouse apartment. No, that's a wish list. But we can do a career healing, highest and best for all concerned. We can do a financial healing, highest and best for all concerned. We can do some healing with fear. We can do some healing with all kinds of physical things. We can do some healing to help people remove any blocks preventing them from being the highest and best for all concerned.
Well, I wonder if there's anyone that would, could a person just call in and ask for a healing?
Sure. Now, if it's on the air, I would still want to know their name and their address. So, yeah, if they don't mind, you know, it being public, because usually, you know, I try to maintain their confidentiality.
Yeah.
But, you know, half the work I do is long distance over the phone.
Uh-huh.
So half the people I see are in person, you know, at each church or, you know, talk that I do. Half is over the phone.
Well, you know, I'd like to have someone who wouldn't mind sharing, who would like a specific healing on something and who would call us back and let us know later.
I'll let you be in charge of that.
Yeah, Dawn, this is Ms. Preparation here. I don't know the number to tell people to call. But, you know, if anyone's sitting in front of their computer there, it says it on the screen.
Right.
Yeah, resort to that. But talk, now I know you're going to be speaking at the WESAC Festival in Mount Shasta, May 16th through 18th.
Right.
And when you are speaking rather than doing individual healings and what is it that you want to give people with your speaking? Is it?
Well, because like I said, they asked me to do my full presentation. So part one is on holistic health. And it's called, if you want to learn about health, don't ask your doctor. The punchline being that 90% is up to the individual, so don't put the burden on your doctor to make you healthy. They can only do the 10%. You've got to do the 90%, which is eating right, exercising, detoxifying, think right, and get spiritually at peace. And I just share that, and I demysticize health, so it's very simple, very easy to follow, and also kind of humorous. And then in the second part of the workshop, I tell my journey spiritually on how I became aware that I was a spiritual healer chronologically. Now, when I do part two, I'm going to work on volunteers. Plus, I'm going to do a group healing at the end because I've had the information given to me that if I have conscious participation, I can work on one person or I can work on 1,000 people. All I need is conscious participation. So, you know, I've done group healings with audiences as large as 1,200 already. I've had clairvoyants tell me when I did a group healing, they saw just a beam of light come into the room and radiate out to the people I'm working on. So it's number one to try to get people to take charge of their life, and number two to let them know God is alive and well and still doing miracles. If they're stuck, ask God for help. God's there to help them.
I didn't get the last sentence.
God is here to help them. So if they're stuck, ask for help.
Well, how about people that might, can we do just a group healing now for anyone that, this sounds a little bit like put your hand on the television, but put your hand on the computer.
Well, actually, I've seen this happen since, you know, a lot of people say, well, it sounds so crazy, you're saying you can do that. Well, if I didn't see it happen numerous times now for many, many years, I wouldn't have the faith that it can happen. You know, mentioning that I used to be a doubting Thomas, because I've seen group healings, and all I need is participation. So
yes.
You can come later.
Yes.
So can I do a group healing? Yes. And what I tell them with a group healing, whether it's a lecture group or just a listening audience, I tell them pick one thing, because you'll receive more effectively with a group healing, and that could be something physical. It could be something a doctor says you have a problem with. It could be something emotional. It can be a relationship you'd like to have healed. It can be a career healing, highest and best for all concern. It can be a financial healing, highest and best for all concern. Or it can be your pet. You're in charge of your pet. So say the person pictures their dog, Fluffy, who has digestive troubles. That's fine. So, yes, I can do that with a listening audience because participation, that's the number one variable I need. So I'm
yes,
not
and also the person has taken charge of the problem and has called God to do it.
Well, that's why participation is the variable.
Yes.
I can't interfere if they say no.
Yes, I know that. I know that. But it seems more powerful to me because it's more than the two or more are gathered together. And I understand that if we align, for every person that joins to align, that the energy is squared. It's not doubled. It's squared. And so I like to say my intention is for this one thing for myself and includes the intentions of everyone else who is asking. And cosmically speaking, everyone, I like to contribute this to the entire group consciousness of the planet and all life everywhere so that everyone, I'd like us to call for everyone that has this thing that we're asking to be healed, everywhere receive this that can receive it and participate. Or do you feel like it has to be conscious participation? You can't ask that way.
Well, the reason it's conscious, it's actually based on an Edgar Cayce statement.
Mm-hmm.
To heal the body physical without an awareness of the body spiritual is to save the body for destruction in materiality. So it's saying it's for their highest spiritual growth that they make a conscious connection to God.
So is that in the book, There Is a River?
I don't know, because like I said, you remember all the books written about Edgar Cayce. He never wrote anything. But different researchers went to the readings, took different themes, and then wrote a book.
Okay.
So it's one of his statements in one of the readings.
Okay. But it is in that book.
I don't know.
Oh.
It's one of the readings, but, The Edgar River just has, some of the readings. All the readings are in Virginia Beach. So if people want to know what reading was that, probably if they call ARE headquarters in Virginia Beach, they probably could research it for them.
Well.
But also there's exceptions to the rule in terms of conscious participation.
Yes.
One exception is a very small child under three. Another one is a person in a coma. Another one is a person with Alzheimer's. And another one is certain cases of mental illness. Not all cases, certain cases. Then a family member can intercede to ask for the healing.
Okay. I want to do that for someone.
Okay.
Okay. So could we do that group healing now and just ask for everyone that's listening and everyone
sure.
that listens?
Sure. Anybody who wants to participate in
yeah.
the group spiritual healing, I can do that now.
Okay, and also I want to say that you can listen to the archives later, for April 7th, and you can download this anytime on the BBS archives.
Okay.
And probably it'll be on your website too, won't it? Can we do that? So people
yeah,
can
sure. You just tell me how.
Okay. I don't know. Computer stuff is kind of... I get other people to do that.
Okay.
So, are we ready? I'll just let you take
right.
it from here.
Yes, okay. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to tune in. I'm going to get permission, and then I'll do it. Okay, it's done.
Woohoo!
People have asked me, how do you know it's done? And I said, well, after thousands of cases, what happens is your faith reaches a point that when you ask, is it done, and you get, it is done, you know it's done.
I think that's maybe the most powerful thing that you do, is that acceptance in yourself, because when it touches that acceptance in the person willing to be healed, it has to be.
Sure. It's like, working with our professional athletes, and there's one thing that we haven't really verified on paper yet,
uh-huh.
but it's been my evaluation that one-third of the players or more are a tenth of a second faster in the 40-yard dash.
They are what?
Are a tenth of a second faster in the 40-yard dash, which is a very important variable with a lot of professional athletes. It's their short burst speed. Now, how do I know that? Well, it's because almost every time I check a professional athlete, I still pick up there's friction in their hips and low back. And after I do the healing, there's not friction. They're faster.
But, they're measurably faster.
Yeah, but it's like I would love to work with the U.S. Olympic team. You know, the difference a tenth of a second could make with our top sprinters?
So we ask for this now, and it is done in the name of the ascended Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, every like place you can be of the highest service.
It's like baseball pitchers. You know, you think of professional baseball pitchers. A lot of the top baseball pitchers are getting $10 to $20 million a year, and yet their elbow and shoulder on their pitching arm is usually very sore after a pitching performance. A lot of them can't play a good, you know, half of the season or, you know, one-fourth of the season. I am sure I could get them to recover days quicker because there's friction in that pitching arm. How do I know? Well, I've worked with two pro quarterbacks, and every time I checked them, their elbow and shoulder on their throwing arm wasn't fully lined up.
Do you find when you're working with these athletes that they become also more spiritual from having this healing
no.
with you?
No, I stay neutral. In other words, they come to me and they say, look, I got pain in my elbow, pain in my shoulder. They don't say, make me a better athlete. Because, like I said, spiritual healing is not a wish list. So I have to always phrase things in the neutral. So, yeah, after I work with them, they will be a better athlete because their body will be more efficient. There'll be less wear and tear. And, like I said, they will be faster.
Well, I'm not sure. I said what I think you think I said.
Okay.
Say that another way. Do they have more, do you find they have more God realization after you've done physical healings with them?
I don't know, but I hope they do. Because, you know, it's interesting. The first time I was brought in to Green Bay, the head coach sat me down in his office and said, do you have to tell the players it's spiritual healing? And I felt some pressure to say whatever you want me to do. And I said, no, I have to state the truth. I gave up my clinic because I wanted to state the truth and not be in that clinical setting anymore and say, yes, I'm a doctor and this is what I do physically. And he thought about it for a minute and goes, okay. So when I work with a player, I tell them the same thing I work with anybody else. I say, when I'm doing the healing and God's working through me, 50% sense something at the time. Things like heat, tingling, a sense of peace, a sense of love, a wave sensation moving over the body. 50%, on the other hand, won't sense anything at the time. But usually about 90%, notice in that first 24 hours after the healing, that the symptoms are diminished or gone. So whatever they're allowing themselves to receive with the healing usually manifests very, very fast. 99% of the players I work with say, great. They just want to play. And they know if they're injured, they can't play, or they might be limited, or someone else might get their position. So now, whether or not that helps them open up to God, I don't know, but I would hope it does, because they've got to realize that when I'm doing the healing, I'm sitting by their feet. And even though I do some hands-on muscle work, which I do to help imprint the healing,
mm-hmm.
that's not the healing. The healing is when I'm sitting by their feet and not touching them. But, you know, I try to keep a low profile with them. They have asked me not to, don't preach to the players. Don't give them any health advice, even though I lecture on holistic health. I don't give them advice. That's what their trainers and coaches do that. They see me if they have a problem, and they bring me in as a specialist.
What is your advice about diet? Is it the same for everyone?
Well, I always tell people, first of all, everybody is unique. So you've got to find out what works best for you. But my pet phrase in this last year is, what would a primate do? You know, a lot of people misunderstand a lot of concepts about nutrition. There's a lot of misinformation out there. But, you know, even though we are spiritual beings, while we're here, we're in a physical body. And based on zoology, the human body is a primate. Now, if you look under primates in your zoological textbook, the vast majority of primates in the world, about 90% of their diet is vegetarian.
Yeah.
You know, they can eat some meats. Now, they're the bigger primates like humans, Homo sapiens, and orangutans do eat meat or even hunt meat. But it's a small portion of the diet. It's probably 5% or less. Also, the most muscular primate in the world, the gorilla, is almost 99% vegetarian. So it's a myth that we need animal flesh to produce muscle. You know, we, like every animal in the world, can convert different foods that is abnormal into what we need. You know, the herbivores, the grass eaters, can eat grass and produce beef. You know, a hummingbird can eat nectar, which is the sugar from a flower, and produce all the things it needs. Humans are frugivores, the ideal fruit eaters. So a large portion of the human diet should be fruit. That's the way we've been built. That's the way we've been designed. The next highest percentage is probably, you know, vegetables. And the smallest portion that we should have in our daily diet is the protein source, you know, animal flesh, maybe 4 ounces, maybe 6 ounces if you can digest it properly. But that's the reason I wrote the double E diet, the easy elimination diet, which is up on my website so people can just download it for free. I wanted to find some way that people's own body could tell them if it works for them. And the easy elimination diet is saying very simply, if you can't digest it, absorb it, and eliminate it easily, your own body is saying it's not for you.
Well, meat stays in the intestines like 4 to 6 days while other things move through immediately. I just want to say something about my experience of meat eating, which is my parents were from the heart of the Bible Belt, you know, steak every day if you can do it. My dad used to keep half a steer in the freezer at all times, and that was, you know, beef and pork and all of that stuff was, when I was in high school, I used to get up in the morning and have a steak for breakfast.
Wow.
And so that was kind of the consciousness that I was brought up in. At the same time, I really, really, really loved animals, and I visited the farm with my cousins. There were 8 kids, and my uncle would do something like, say, we'd all be sitting at dinner, and he'd say, well, too bad this is Henry we're eating, which is one of the kids' pets, you know?
Oh, wow.
And he would just announce it that way, so it's very sadistic, and I started to really look at that. And in fact, I sort of organized an uprising amongst the kids because I found out they were shooting squirrels, and they were eating, you know, all sorts of babies that I always adored animals. So by 1975, I was a vegetarian because one day we were eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I looked up, and I had these chickens outside that I had raised from little chicks in my hand. And I went, oh, my God, we're eating their friends. And I just quit right then. And what I've come to is that I don't want suffering, so I don't do anything that causes suffering, including buying leather. Because, and it's a mom thing with me, it's like, I won't mess with that. You know, a cow will go 10 miles, break through fences to get back to her calf. So I realize they love their children like we love our children. And then investigating further, just going from not wanting to cause any pain. And see, one of my best friends is an animal healer, and she doesn't believe in killing anything. She has gotten rid of termites for me by tuning into them with love. She's asked them to leave. We had a coyote that killed 5 of our cats. She asked it to leave peacefully, and it did for years. And So, you know, I'm looking at, I feel like all of the things that are done in the medical profession, like experimenting on animals, those are done from fear. They cause pain, and that comes back to us. And I actually received a message from Edgar Cayce because I was asked to, I really hope I'm not talking too much, but I feel like this is right on purpose here.
Okay.
I was asked to, I channel Ascended Masters and bring them through their messages, and I was asked to participate with a doctor who was writing a book in Florida. His son was dying of AIDS, and he wanted to do something that made it more, you know, that was a tribute to his son, and so he asked channels around the world to ask what would end AIDS on the planet. And so I said, whatever guides could help me here, whatever Ascended Master guides could help me, I asked, what will end AIDS on the planet? And the question was changed, and who came was Edgar Cayce, and he said, what will end disease and suffering on the planet? And he said the first thing would be to stop experimenting on animals, because the same part of a person that allows them to think that that's okay is the same part that attacks the body with cancer or something. It is hatred and having a closed heart. And he said people would have to stop eating animals too. And then in looking at this further, if you look at what causes a lot of diseases, it's acidity in the body. And meat and alcohol have the highest acidity. Wheatgrass has the highest alkalinity. And the body will maintain itself at a certain pH level, and it will do anything, including produce tumors, in order to do that. So, you know, I'm sorry for just going off on you, but that's my thing about diet is it is, and so I asked this healer friend of mine who is also an animal communicator, and she said that animals have said that when people stop eating animals, so will they, and the lion will lie down with the lamb. And I'm sorry for just going off on you in your middle of your...
Well, that's okay.
Go ahead.
I always tell everybody to have their opinion. And I always say I don't have the final say on anything. All I can tell you is my experience and my opinions.
Well, and sorry to be so opinionated, but I have found this to work for people, that they become healthier and happier and more alive, refusing to do anything that hurts life, like... you know, all these depressed teenagers, all this teen suicide, a lot of these kids are going around from head to foot in black leather. They are wearing the consciousness and the experience of suffering in the color of death and despair. And I just really know that we have to stop abusing animals. And also I've noticed that the same people that abuse animals abuse themselves, and they abuse children, and they abuse women. And so I'm sorry. That just came to say, and go back to what you tell them to do besides their diet. And what do you tell them about exercise?
Well, I tell them, look, if you are a primate in the wild, do you eat without exercising? No, you can't get food without making the effort to get it. So exercise is normal in the wild to eat. So this is a body we're in that movement stimulates internal function. You know, one of the benefits of society is we have a lot of things done for us. But then we have to make up for that and keep the body very active to stimulate internal function.
And to show the body you want it.
And what?
And to show the body you want it. You want to inhabit it. You want to live there.
You want to live there. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Live in the body. to show the body you want to live in it.
Right. Yeah, this is your vehicle. You need to do your part. Take care of it. This is your temple. You know, it's here to serve you for as long as your soul wants to stay in this dimension. So exercise goes hand in hand with nutrition. You have to feed the body right. You have to keep it active. And then a third thing physically is you got to purify it occasionally. Just like taking care of a car, it needs an oil change every 3,000 miles. The body needs to get some purification to remove the sludge out of its engine. And we're bombarded these days, you know, by living in society with different chemicals, different pollutants, and, you know, whether it's a one-day fast or a raw diet for a day or more, or a castor oil pack like a KC Remedy, we need to do those things which helps purify the body so, like an engine, we get the sludge out.
Tell people how to do a castor oil pack, because it's the simplest thing in the world, and it's so much less expensive than going to the doctor. And
you just take the cloth, which they say is cotton flannel, is the best material. The best kind of castor oil is cold pressed. You put the castor oil on the cloth. You put it over your abdomen for general detoxification. Wrap it in some cellophane so you don't stain your towel. If you use a heating pad, use it only on a low setting for about an hour. The castor oil is absorbed through the skin and will stimulate the lymphatic system to help reduce inflammation.
And that's so simple and so easy.
Yeah, the head medical researcher at the AOE clinic for many years is Dr. William McGarry there in Phoenix, and he wrote two books on it. The Palmer Christie was his first one, and the second one was The Oil That Healed.
Okay, we have 2 minutes. I'm sorry. I didn't realize we're almost done here. Tell people how they can reach you. Caller, I'm sorry. We have a caller.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hi, this is Iris and Dr. Shay. Who is this?
This is Jean. I'll just make it real quick. I know you're almost out of time.
Are we almost out of time, Don? Maybe we're not. I didn't think we were.
Oh, I thought you said there was 2 minutes left. Okay.
No, I thought there were 2 minutes left, and it's the same sound as when we're out of time.
But it wasn't all
yet. I'm sorry, your name is Dean?
Jean. Yes.
Hi, Jean.
Hi. I just wanted to know about my cat, Skyler. He passed away today.
Oh.
Can you tell me if he wanted to go and if he has anything to say?
Well, of course, I'm not a clairvoyant, so I don't pick up on things like, you know, when an animal passes or when a person passes. You know, I can tune in on the animal or the person and ask, is there something I can do to help them?
I see.
I have had 3 people out of maybe 40,000 that I did a healing session for them, and then they passed on that night.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I see, I don't tell God what to do. I just tune in on them and ask, what can I do to assist?
Yeah.
And a number of times, you know, when they were ready and for some reason they couldn't pass, the healing helped them to make the transition.
I see.
Well,
okay.
Jean, how are you, my darling? How are you about it?
Well, it's been a rough day.
I know. Well, how about Dr. Shay? Is it okay to call you Saul?
Sure.
Okay, so how about could you do a healing on her grief with this?
Sure, if she'd like some healing with that.
Would you like that?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay, and Jean, do you feel comfortable? Just tell me what city and state you're in.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to be quiet just a second here. Okay, I'm going to do some healing with that. Okay, it's done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jean, I have a message from Skyler.
Okay.
He loves you very much. He wanted to go because he has something else to do temporarily, and he's going to reincarnate in about 6 months, in about September, and he would like you to come to the local animal shelter. You will be shown when, and he would like you to take him and one of his siblings, and all of you have some work to do together for all animals. Would you be willing to do that?
Yes, yes.
So he really wants you to be at peace. He's happy. He feels good. It was hard to leave you, and he loves you.
Okay, thank you very much.
And he said, tell her I'll be back.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you accept that?
Yes.
All right, my darling. Let us know.
Okay, I will.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, where were we?
You were talking about what do I tell people in terms of healing. So I mentioned some of the physical things. Now, most of the time, you need to think good thoughts about yourself. You need to think good thoughts about others. And do those things which help you feel spiritually at peace. You know, have some prayer time daily. Have some quiet time daily. And if it's in your belief system, do it.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what you call it. To ask for help from higher powers,
right,
can't hurt anyone. To ask for guidance from higher intelligence, that intelligence that beats our heart and does a trillion different things at once, so we can tell red from blue. You know, that higher intelligence can solve everything. And I think the most important part is loving that part, and what you did, giving yourself completely over to that part and saying, you take what I have to give here and make the most possible service of it for all life. Isn't that what you did?
Well, basically, because I just said, God, you lead, I follow.
Same thing, I said a lot more words. You said it in haiku. But I really thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, many years ago, I wear a Star of David across the center, and it was made for me by a Muslim. And people said, well, how did that come about? I said, well, I was lecturing in Florida, and he asked me a very profound question. He said, what is the divine reality? And I said, well, I had a dream on that, because, you know, I've had, you know, so many dreams. But in the dream, I've always said that divine reality is any soul willing to set aside their conscious personality can have God speak through them, like Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Moses, etc. And he said, I like that. And he said, let me make you something.
How wonderful. How very wonderful. Tell people how they can reach you.
Well, my phone number is 239-910-1793. I check my messages every day of the year. You know, when people say, well, but it's Christmas Eve or it's New Year's Eve, I say, that to me, every day is Christ Day.
Hmm.
And I don't mind. So I check it, you know, every 4 or 5 hours, every day of the year. Even when I'm on vacation, even when I'm lecturing in Europe, because to me it's fun.
That's how you know you're doing your divine plan, is that it's what you would do on vacation.
Right.
When I had my 50th birthday, people wanted me to go to Hawaii. They wanted me to do all these kind of different things that were, you know, the pictures of lavishness, and I said, no, here's what I want to do. I want to do my inner work. I want to do my meditation. I want to spend some time in the garden. I want to work on that time I was doing a television show. I want to work on the TV show, and I have some presents to wrap for somebody. I want to send those out, and then I wanted to be with my husband at night. I wanted to just watch a movie and have Chinese food, and that's what I do on a daily basis, you know, and so my work is like being on vacation, and it sounds like your work is being on vacation.
Well, you know, it's like I share with audiences, I have a one-day record on abdominal crunches that I set on my 55th birthday of doing 40,000 abdominal crunches in 24 hours.
Wow.
And people go, well, why would you do something that crazy? And I go, well, for me, it's fun. So I was once visiting with the Packers, and I was doing bicep curls. And their long snapper, Davis, he saw me at the gym doing curls, and then they went out to scrimmage, you know, at the field. And they came back two, three hours later, and I'm still doing curls. And Davis says, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm going for a record today. And he goes, well, how many curl sets have you done? I said, well, this is my 130th set. And he said, you know, the strength coach used to be the man. He said, Dr. Shea, you're the man. You're crazy, but you're the man. So that's what I do for fun. You know, I just try to do exercise and, you know, do my personal best occasionally, you know, help people with healing. You know, to me, life is to be enjoyed, but, you know, to your own self be true.
Well, you are certainly doing that, and you are certainly the best teacher we have of doing that. And I wanted you to tell people how they could reach you. I wanted to tell people, isn't your next thing you're going to be at the WESAC Festival in May, or do you have something before that?
I have something before that. Actually, I'm going to be in St. Louis, Missouri at the Soul Esteem Center this next Friday, Saturday, and Monday.
The Soul Esteem Center?
Soul, S-O-U-L, Soul Esteem Center. It's actually Maryland Heights, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
And I'll be doing healing sessions there. And then I have a stop at the Unity Church of Columbia, Missouri, the week after that. And then in May, I'll be flying out to the WESAC Festival. And I already told them that right now I have most of May open. So they're actually checking around at Redding, California, and Ashland is, if while I have the availability, if anybody wants to have me do my thing while I'm out there on the West Coast.
Okay. And I very recommend that, and tell people how they can reach you.
Well, I gave you my phone number. My website is saulshaye.com, and that's SaulShaye.com. My email address is saulshaye@hotmail.com. But the phone, I still check the phone the most frequently. That's why I have three different cell phone companies. So everywhere I am, I can have a signal that works.
That's such a good idea.
So I check my phone messages, you know, every 4 or 5 hours, 365 days a year. I have to admit that sometimes I forget to check my email because, unfortunately, a lot of times I have 100 junk mail for each message.
Yeah.
So sometimes it gets lost in the others. But I always have to look. If you got a request for healing or a question about healing, put the word healing in the message so I know that it's someone asking me about healing.
Okay, put it in the subject.
Subject, healing, request for healing, question about healing, lecture schedule. They want to know if I'm going to be in their area, something like that.
Yeah. That's very good. What would you give people if you could give people just one gift instead of the thousands you are giving?
I guess increase their faith that they are a spiritual being and God loves them.
You know, you were talking about making yourself spiritually fit and meditating and, you know, whatever fits into your belief of quiet time or looking within. And I wonder, do you work with forgiveness at all? Do you work with people with forgiveness?
Yeah, anything, like I said, we can put the terminology of healing. And that's what I tell people when I see people or when I do a healing session for them by phone. I tell them, if you have a lot of things that you'd like healing for, pick your top three things. The simpler you describe it, the better.
Yes.
But then once I have their name and an address, I'm going to tune in and check everything. But, yeah, it could be forgiveness. It could be, you know, grief. It could be, you know, regret. It can be opening up, you know, more joy in their life. But I have to put it in the terminology of healing.
I understand.
So it could be physical things, it could be emotional, it could be mental.
Well, you know, anything that is not wholly joyous is not God's will.
And so anything that's less than joy needs to be healed.
But that's what we need people to say, that's what I'd like. You know, we want their participation so they're opening up and they have the most, the spiritual growth from that participation.
Well, you know, I want to encourage people to ask for more. Can't have anything you won't ask for.
Yeah, I mean, look at that profound statement. Ye are children of the Most High. What a profound statement. Ye are children of the Most High.
I'm writing it down. You are children of the Most High.